Hello, and welcome to a new series in Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And I'm calling this series, Living the Supernatural Life, a Journey into Grace and Faith. Now, while our focus in this series will be on God's grace and His truth, as well as faith, we need to look at some important issues beforehand so that we can see things properly. In Christianity, there are many voices proclaiming they have the truth about Father God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God's Word, the Bible. And it can be very confusing. Frankly, they can't all be correct because so many of them contradict each other. So how do we strip away what is false and find the truth about God and His will for us? First, we have to keep in mind that Satan is the father of all lies. That means every lie that is spoken or perpetrated originates with him. Satan uses deception to mislead people and draw them away from the truth about God. His plan is to make you feel weak and powerless so that you would depend on your own strength instead of trusting in Jesus. Satan wants to create doubt in your life about God's love, His faithfulness, and His plan for you. If he can create confusion, then you'll seek the wrong things which will draw you further away from Jehovah God. Secondly, we have to remember what Jesus said in John 8:31 and through 34. And what he said was that the truth will set you free, and that if Jesus sets you free, then you truly are free indeed. Now, what kind of freedom is Jesus talking about? Well, the most important freedom we have is that we are free to receive heaven because of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. Heaven is ours instead of hell. Jesus also promised that we would be free from sin and death and destruction and the destruction that it brings. Freedom in Jesus also means that all of the promises of God are ours to obtain and enjoy. Jesus promised a lot. So why is it that so many live below their potential in God? Is it because so many have exchanged the truth for a lie? Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and who worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, if one sincerely believes a lie about spiritual things, that sincerity will count for nothing. It's still a lie. If the truth sets free, then a lie will produce bondage, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. Now, throughout all of our lives, we've been exposed to all kinds of influences. Now, some of these influences were good, noble, and they were consistent with God's plan for us. However, we've also been exposed to influences that were negative, evil, and totally at odds with God's will for us. Make no mistake about it. If you're deceived by Satan, you will not be fulfilling God's desire, and you'll be reaping the fruit of Satan, which is pain, suffering, and heartache. What I'm trying to say is the truth from God's perspective is essential to a blessed life. Now, here's something important to remember. You cannot blame others for what you believe. As a believer, you have the Bible, and you have the Holy Spirit of truth living in you to guide you in your search for the truth. Don't assume that others are wiser, smarter, more knowledgeable about the Word of God. Search for yourself. That probably is the most important thing that you can do, and that is when you hear something that sounds true, seek out what the Word has to say about it. And if the Word agrees with it, then embrace it. But if the Word doesn't agree with it, then you need to reject it. Remember, being a Christian is a lifelong journey into God's truth. Now, here's a question you should ask yourself. Are you doing things to please God without knowing why? Now, this is where it's important to examine what you believe and why. Is it because someone told you that it's true, or is it because you have discovered the truth for yourself in the Word of God? In 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 18, the Apostle Paul talks about the veil of deception over the hearts of those that are under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Now, this was a veil over the hearts of the legalistic Jews who were under the law of Moses. Now, as a result of the veil, they could not see that the Old Testament was referring to Jesus as the Messiah, and they wound up rejecting him. Then Paul says very clearly, the veil is removed in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Jesus, not in man, not in an organization, but Jesus and the work of his Holy Spirit in you as you study his word. If we want all that God has provided in Jesus Christ, which is what grace is, and the faith to appropriate or access that grace, we need to be confident that what we believe is the truth. Now, the world's view, now when I use the word the world's view, it's the world's view has to do with how we see things in life. Now, of course, before we come to Christ, before we come to know Jesus, our worldview is very, I would call it secular. It's based upon our culture and our surroundings and so on and so forth. But now God wants us to have a biblical worldview. The problem is that the old worldview is a form of deception that attempts to marginalize or minimize the importance of God and his church. Let me suggest that there are at least seven veils, if you want to call them that, that every believer should examine in their own lives. And this is a place of personal examination. I'm not talking about examining the lives of other people, but looking at yourself and coming to a decision as to how you learn certain things, why you learn certain things, and why you embrace it as truth. Now, the first veil is the veil of our sin nature. In other words, the habits that we've accumulated over a lifetime. When we come to Christ, we are forgiven and we become new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that. Now, this is referring to our spirit man. We still have to overcome a lifetime of bad habits, bad behavior, bad things that we've learned. Our sin nature has been dealt with, but we may still have unrighteous attitudes and thoughts. And this is overcome by the work of the Word and of the Spirit as we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12:2 talks about that. It says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so the renewing of our mind is something that we actively have to do. And we need to renew our mind based upon what the Word of God says. So many of us, we look to God, we look at Christianity as a means of getting something. What we need to realize is that when we become Christians, it's about what we can do for the kingdom of God, advancing God's agenda. And in the process of advancing God's kingdom, then all the things that we want, all the things I should say that we need will be added to us. And of course, it says that in Matthew chapter 6. It says that, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to us. Now, the second veil is what I call the veil of family. Your relationship or lack of relationship with parents, especially your father, can shape your view of your heavenly father. A negative family life can transfer that negativity or lack of trust for our Heavenly Father. This attitude can twist the good news message into one that is harsh, judgmental, and unloving. You know, it's sad to say that parents do the best they can. If you're a parent, you know that. You do the best that you can. But sometimes we do the wrong things. And so it's important to examine what impact has my family had upon me growing up and entering into adulthood. And are any of those things that I have absorbed or taken on contrary to what God wants for me? The third veil is the veil of education. As children, we tend to believe all that we're taught, and as a result, we are taught values and morals that do not line up or conform to the Bible. For example, of something that many are caught would be that God did not create man and woman, but mankind evolved into their present form. That's the old creation versus evolution argument. Let me just say that because of the internet, we are overwhelmed with information. And can I say something to you? You cannot trust the information you get on the internet. And so I just encourage you, when you read something on the internet or you hear something from the internet, you need to take that and take a look at what the Word has to say about it. And then you have to, if it doesn't line up, you have to discard what you've heard, even though you may want to believe it. You know, there are many things we want to believe, but if they don't line up with what God says, then we need to reject that and embrace what God has said. The fourth veil is the veil of peers. For the sake of friendship, we tend to overlook and sometimes we embrace the evil or bad behavior of others. As the Bible teaches, bad company corrupts good morals. That's 1 Corinthians 15:33. You see, those who are closest to us have the greatest influence on us. And therefore, we need to be very careful how we choose our friends. Because in our desire to want to please our friends, it can cause us to cross the line, if you will, to embrace what they are doing instead of embracing what the Word says that we need to do. The fifth veil that I want to bring to your attention is the veil of culture, a subtle but powerful influence that we're not aware of because we grew up in it. Attitudes about love, vengeance, gender, marriage, children, honesty, integrity, they're all built into the culture we live in. And these attitudes may be contrary to scriptures, and yet they're widely accepted. However, we are called to adhere to biblical truths and not to cultural truths. Now, I have to admit, sometimes the cultural truths do line up with the scriptures, and that's fine. But in so many ways, the cultural truth is all about making money, about having influence, about gaining power, and all of those things that God wants us to have, but He wants us to have it His way. And so we just need to be careful about the cultural influences that we live in. The Western civilization has a different cultural influence than the Eastern civilization. Northern civilizations have different cultures than Southern civilizations. And yet, there's only one culture that is significant or important to us, and that is the culture of the followers of Jesus Christ. We serve Him because He first loved us, and we love Him. And so we want to do everything in our power to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, His right way of doing things. The sixth veil is the veil of tradition, and this is an important one. Jesus addressed the issue of the traditions of men. A common statement is, it's the way we do things here. Okay, but does it line up with the Word of God? You see, the practice must line up with the Word of God. You know, the whole country may be doing something a certain way, but that doesn't mean it's right. I speak from experience. We have laws in my country that are so contrary to God's Word. And so we can't embrace those laws. Now, I realize that we're subject to the law, but the thing is that we need to be a voice for the kingdom of God. The seventh veil is the veil of experience. And every individual is you're the sum total of all of your experiences in life. Both positive and negative experiences shape how we think and who we are. Now, we're called to be disciples of Christ. Therefore, we should always examine our motives and our behavior to make sure that they are Christ-like. Since so much of what we know and believe is formed by our life experiences, you can now understand why the Bible stresses the importance of knowing yourself and accurately judging yourself. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's 1 Corinthians 11:31. Coming to know yourself means to understand the truth about God's grace and His faith. And I know that it's a difficult thing to come to the realization that, oh my goodness, I've been thinking the wrong way all these years. All that God requires is that we repent. We repent and we change our ways. And so let me just, in closing, let me quote these two scriptures. And this is John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so my prayer is that you would start that journey right today, if you haven't already, of examining your life and making a careful consideration. Is what I believe consistent? Does it line up with what the Bible teaches? And I believe that when you begin to do that, you're going to see God move in a more powerful way in your life. Because when we are seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, then all the things that we need, all the things that we desire, will be made available to us. Amen? And so I want to bless you this week, and I look forward to seeing you the next time.